Sorry, Frank, moving off camera on you. Keep you on your toes. Welcome to everyone tuning in at home. I want to talk a little bit about the gym, something you can tell I don't know a lot about. My brother-in-law, married to Susie's sister, happens to own some Anytime Fitness gyms, and often I reflect on how church ministry has some similarities to the gym. One of them being, lots of people kind of have the idea that it's kind of a good idea, something that would be good for you to do, right? Could be good for you to go to church. It could be good for you to go to the gym. But it just feels like, you know, it's one of those things that just having the motivation to do it is difficult. And so in a lot of ways, I think that some of that similar feeling can be around kind of gym attendance versus coming to a church service. We just need to find the motivation to kind of be regular. There's other great kind of similarities, like the more you kind of immerse yourself in the culture of the gym, the better it is for you. I haven't experienced, but I hear there comes a point where you actually get endorphins from going to the gym and actually becomes enjoyable at some point. I'm not convinced. They say like no pain, no gain, but my experience is lots of pain, no gain. This kind of thing. But there's lots of different differences to church and going to the gym as well. For example, you know, the big movement of Anytime Fitness and those kinds of gyms that have set up has been you can kind of get access to it anytime. Get swipe card, swipe yourself in on your time, on your leisure. You go in and you can kind of 3 a.m., it doesn't matter, you can do it. Now, church is quite different in that, right? If we had a swipe card access here and you could access here anytime, actually getting in this building isn't going to fulfill the role of kind of what church provides. It's not just about working alongside someone, having a friend with you. There's actually much more that goes on when we gather together as a church. And so while there are some similarities, there are quite significant differences to what it looks like to be part of a church versus just the goodness of exercise in a gym. I want to think a little bit today about what that looks like. We've been talking about our vision series. Today is our Commitment Sunday, which is a Sunday that we take a moment in the service. We have commitment forms. We'd be encouraging you to pray about that, talk about that. So that's today. We'll have some time after the sermon that we'll fill those in. But in particular, I've been talking about kind of some of the systems in our church, five systems in particular that we think about that help us grow as people. So on mission, in community, deep in the Word, serving others, loving God, five things that we do that we think that if we really focus on these five things, we will be growing people in our church, which is what we're on about. And so we're thinking about that. I want to think particularly this morning about the topic of serving and what it looks like in serving. Serving feels like one of those things like the gym, isn't it? You could always do more. It always feels like there's something to do, there's opportunities to serve, and we end up feeling guilty when we don't do it, and we end up feeling like it's a burden on us. And that's quite a challenge for us to think about as we think serving, and it's a challenge for me as I think about what to say about that, because we don't want to just kind of guilt people, lay more and more guilt on everyone. You're not doing enough, do more, do more. I want to think about what empowers us in our serving. And we find some of it in this passage here in Romans 12. The empowering to serve comes from God. In fact, we're told, first of all, that we're empowered to serve because of God's goodness. This is what we read in that first verse. He says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God." That's the act of serving, because of all he has done for you. One of the empowering things that come for us for serving is what God has done. Now, there's a little bit of a danger here, especially as we look at the word body, that we kind of think, well, Jesus gave his body, so we give our body. And so, you know, there's a direct correspondence there. But that's not the kind of picture that Paul's painting here. In fact, his attention at this point isn't on Jesus. His attention is on God the Father. As he comes into chapter 12, he comes out of it in chapter 11, where he has spent a lot of time reminding the church of their place before God and the gift that has come of being connected into God. In fact, specifically, he talks about Abraham's family tree. So Abraham's family tree, an incredible gift that God gave to Abraham and his descendants to be connected to God. That was the gift that was promised to Abraham, connected to God, and that through Abraham there would be a blessing that everyone might be able to be connected to God. As we follow the story of Abraham, and what Paul draws us to in chapter 11 is through disobedience, many of God's people actually break away from the family tree. Paul uses the language of broken branches. They're broken branches from this family tree. And this is what he says. This is chapter 11, verse 17. He says, "But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel, have been broken off. And you," talking to those that are not Jews, "who were branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in." The next verse continues. "So now you also receive the blessings God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree." I've been telling Olive, our daughter, that we should name our church Olive Tree. She hasn't been convinced, neither have I, actually. There's a great picture here of this tree. It's Abraham's family tree, but it's actually something far more significant than Abraham's descendants. It's God's family tree. We're told a special olive tree, and the branches that have been broken off have been grafted in, and we're told that they share in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. It's not just included, but it's actually empowered, is what's happening here. And so it's an empowering nourishment. And then we get to chapter 12, which we read, and Paul says, and it's a transforming thing. This is what verse 2 said: "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." This is what it means when he says, "Give your bodies." He's saying, live as part of this tree. One of the challenges for the early church, one of the things that they were accused of is actually being atheist, because so many religions around them had kind of tangible things they did to worship their deities, and they had idols and things like that. The early Christians were actually called atheist because they said, we don't visibly see, you're the religion of no God. We can't see your things that you are worshipping. And so they're actually accused of being atheistic. And what Paul is saying here is, no, there is a true and living God. And the thing that we give him isn't bowing down to some idol or some shrine. The thing we give him is we worship him with our whole selves. He says, give our bodies means give our lives, live our lives for him. This is a serving sacrifice. And I think the thing that stands out to me most of all about all this is Paul said he pleads with them to give their bodies. It seems strange to me, the idea that he's so desperate for the people to give their bodies. Why? Why is Paul, the pastor to this church, pleading with the church to do this? It's because if they're not connected into, if they're not living out the life in this root that they're connected into, then they're missing out. This nourishment that comes from God is partnered with obedience. And so giving their bodies, giving our bodies as living sacrifices, is a logical response to what God has done. And it's the best response for us and for the kingdom, for God's body of believers. We're given a choice here. The choice is we can either thrive on the altar of obedience, or we can decay on the altar of selfishness. That's the picture here. that if we want to be growing in this root of nourishment that comes from God, we can either thrive on the altar of obedient service or we can decay on the altar of selfishness. God's goodness nourishes us as we serve, and his gifts empower us. Paul gives this list of gifts in Romans 12, and a lot of Paul's letters to the church, he lists kind of different gifts, and each letter has different gifts listing as he pulls different examples. But the first gift here is often overlooked, I think. This is what he said. He said, "Don't think you are better than you really are." Verse 5, "We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other." The first gift, before he even talks about your gifts, the first gift is the gift of each other. The first gift that's listed is that we are together, that this is community. That in one significant way, church is not like a gym where you swipe in and out, is because of the people together. Community is essential. You imagine that whatever it is, you know, you're trying to achieve by being regularly connected to a gym, going to the gym, you can swipe in and out at 3 a.m., talk to no one else there, do your thing, go away, and you have successfully done what you set out to do. That's a successful gym trip, I assume. Not that I've experienced it. Imagine if you treated a family gathering the same way. You said, "I've got to go to the family thing," you know. So you show up to your parents' house, you swipe in, maybe, and you swipe into your parents' house, you go in and you just, you know, you go grab some food, you sit on the couch for an hour or two, you talk to no one, and then you leave. That is clearly not a successful family gathering. There's something quite different about those two pictures. Something about relationship is key and essential to the family of God. God has given us each other, and he's given us each gifts. Gifts from God. He says, "Don't think you're better than you really are." Verse 6, "God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." Another standout thing in Romans 12 compared to some of the other passages that Paul uses to talk about gifts is that idea of doing things well. Most of the time he doesn't kind of talk about that, but specifically here he talks about the need to work hard at not just growing through our gifts, but growing our gifts, about working hard at growing in our giftedness. Verse 6, "If God has given you the ability to prophesy," he says, "speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If serving others, serve them well. If teaching, teach well." Paul calls us to grow the kingdom through our serving, but he also calls us to grow our serving, to grow the gift of serving. And we want to do that in a whole lot of ways. And giving our lives as living sacrifices isn't just something we do by gathering together, but we serve him out of this building as well. We serve him as we, not just as we gather, but also as we scatter. We serve him wherever we are. But something we want to think about as we think about our vision of our church is how we serve together, how we serve in community. One of the reasons we're talking about kind of these five systems we want to focus on is because we want to serve in synergy with each other. That it's right to say we can all show up to a church and we can faithfully serve God in a whole lot of different ways without kind of being overly organized about it. But I think that we are called to try to work together as best we can, as many parts of one body, to serve in synergy. A number of years ago, I was sent a photo that another minister had drawn of his church, trying to kind of depict what it looked like with everyone faithfully serving, doing lots of different things, but kind of doing it in their own spaces. And this is a picture that he drew of his church, rowing a rowboat. And you can see there's a whole lot of oars. You may not be able to read them, but one of them's called growth groups. One of them's called music, welcoming. I think the oar floating away out of reach there is training, and it says SOS on it. But the other thing you'll notice about the picture, other than the fact that the oars kind of are all over the place, is the diagram is trying to show who's holding what oar. I think he's deliberately drawing on people and systems in his own church at the time. And so some of those oars deliberately have, well, I'd say three hands, but growth groups have two hands and a foot, I think, holding, I don't know, it's hard to tell if that's a foot. Some of the hands aren't particularly pretty either. But you can see there's feet holding onto these things. There's a number of different people, all faithfully working. But one of the things they analysed in their church is, as we want to work together, we want to try to make sure. And so their model at the time was different congregations each have their growth group coordinators and they're all doing their own thing. And they said, if we're going to work in synergy together, we want to try to draw these things together. And that's something we've been working on as a church, to try to have centralised systems that empower all our ministries. So when we launched our evening service, we didn't launch a separate small group system. We have a small group that's predominantly connected to that service, but it's under the same system that's shared across our church. And that caused us to face certain challenges in trying to care for diversity. But also we want to make sure that as we are a church, we are growing together. Something we want to think about as we talk about building a healthy ministry centre for multiplying mission is we want to think about multiplying leadership. And that's quite a tricky thing, I think, for us as thinking about growing in the gift of leadership. It requires time for us to invest in ministry. It requires us often to learn new skills. One of the things I've found in years of ministry is that even when I talk with quite high-level kind of managers in large businesses, it's quite clear that some of the leadership that is involved in a ministry a volunteer organisation like a church requires some quite unique skills. And something we want to think about as we talk about multiplying ministry is how we as a church are helping people to grow in multiplying leadership and thinking about what that looks like and trying to train and equip each other to grow as we think about what multiplying ministry together looks like. We're called to this, be living sacrifices together, empowered by God's goodness, empowered by the gifts he's given us. And this is life-transforming service. Right in the middle of that passage of chapter 12, it feels like Paul, and you're familiar with Paul's reading, sometimes he kind of just hits a tangent and he runs with it and just kind of keeps going. And we get that in this middle of this chapter. It's like a whole bunch of things are floating around in his head. He just wants to tell the church to do all the things. Right, this is what he says, verse 9. He says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. And then he kind of just keeps on going, right? Verse 10, he goes, love genuinely. Verse 11, he says, work hard, serve enthusiastically. Verse 12, he says, rejoice, be patient, keep praying. Verse 13, he says, always practice hospitality. He kind of has this just rambling plea. And you can't help but read it, I think, and start to feel like it's just an exhausting list. Like we're called to give our bodies as living sacrifices. And then he just pours out this exhausting list that you say, how can we do all these things? Life is so busy. I think part of the key here is what we read in verse 2. He said, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. There's a transforming that is required here. And if we're going to be living sacrifices, that means there is going to be some difficulty there. It is a picture of sacrifice. But I think at times what happens is we try to grow in the things we're doing for God, but we also try to grow in the things that we're doing in this world around us. And we struggle with that priority system. I saw a pastor this week, a little short video of him talking about this, and he used an illustration. He put two ladders on his stage. They were quite tall. I thought about doing it, but I would hit the roof quickly. He started to climb two ladders, but one foot on each, right? And he got quite high. And you can imagine, fairly quickly, it starts to get difficult. Fairly quickly, even just going up one rung means throwing your weight to the other ladder in order to get up a rung. And as you start to be spread across these two ladders, it gets more and more difficult. His illustration was, this is what we kind of do with our life for God and the life we're living in and around the world, that we try to climb a worldly ladder of just the things we want, the things the world around us put on us, the things, many of them good things. We try to climb that ladder. And at the same time, we got these list of things that God is calling us to when we try to climb that ladder. And eventually we're going to get to a point where we just can't keep climbing both ladders. And we end up in a place where we either try to jump back and forth between ladders, or we need to do what this passage is telling us to do, which is there is some level of sacrifice. And there's two sacrifices that we're told about here. One of them is hard work. Paul certainly doesn't make this sound like, oh, this is because of God's nourishment, because of his giftedness, this is going to be an easy cakewalk for you. Now, he's saying living sacrifices is going to mean hard work if we're going to live for God. So that is a sacrifice. But there's another kind of sacrifice, and that is saying no to things that might pull us away from serving God. And what becomes really difficult for that is saying no to things that are good things, things we love. At different parts of your life, different times in your life, that struggle changes. I think particularly we think kind of the young adult world, kids coming into adulthood, some of the struggle between serving God and worldly things are often, actually the worldly things can often be quite visibly sinful things, things that are temptations that draw us away from God. And that's quite common to feel that. I mean, that happens throughout life, but there's a particular time in coming into adulthood where I think that's a big temptation. In the world of family, there's so many other temptations that are really quite good things, and it's just a list of trying to balance our priorities. And you know, Susie and I struggle with this. We want our kids to have all the things that are good for them. We want them to. The thing we're discussing at the moment is music lessons. We are both musical, and we haven't given our kids music lessons at this point. And we feel like, oh, we should teach them music, either ourselves or add that. But you know, we also, it's a really helpful skill that they're good at swimming, so they're at swimming lessons. And we cancelled dancing this year. That was really hard for them. They loved their dancing lessons because we wanted to put them in team sports. And there's just so many things we can put our kids in, and we'd love to put them in all of them. And at some point, we need to say, actually, there's things we want to do to serve God that means we can't do all these things. One of those things is sustain ourselves and healthy balance. One of those things is serving God in other things, which actually I think our kids seeing us make sacrifices, teaching them to make sacrifices for God, is one of the most important things we can teach them. And they can then see, I think a family that says, you know, we love God, but we, you know, struggle to fit him in our lives, I think that kind of modelling to kids is actually teaching them one of the worst things they can learn, which is God just doesn't fit. If I can talk about some other life stages, I think another one classically is thinking about retirement, that journey into retirement. Not many people want to retire. Very few people want to retire. I think when you're 30, it sounds like a great idea. And then when it comes closer, I think almost everyone I've talked to just says, you know, and the big question is, what am I going to do with my time? And anyone who's been retired for 5 years laughs at that question and goes, you are not going to fit it all in, the things you want to do with your time. And immediately we move from, you know, these demands of work on our lives to a little bit more flexibility, and very quickly we end up back in the same place. There's not enough time to fit it all in. And the challenge becomes there again. How are we balancing the call to serve God and be transformed to his priorities and the call of the good and bad desires of this world and battling against them? God is empowering us through his Spirit. It's a transforming work, but there is also sacrifice in there. And we need to work hard at that. It's a sacrifice because it's hard work, and it's a sacrifice because there are things we will need to say no to in one place in order to say yes to God. It is hard work. Following Jesus is a sacrifice. And just like going to the gym, that hard work is good for you, serving God is good for you. But it's not like the gym. You don't just swipe in and swipe out. Church is something we do in community. It's something we do together. Working hard for God is something that it is growing us strong. It is growing the kingdom. It is growing our gifts, and it is growing together. And that's something we're called to do, and it's something we want to do as a church. When we're gathered, we are growing together. As we send out from this place and go into our weeks, we continue to serve God and we continue to grow in partnership with one another in the different roles that we play during the week. And so I want to encourage you. There is a challenge here. There is hard work put before us to be serving God. We're reminded that it's his goodness that nourishes us. And we want to stay connected in that. And being connected into him as the root that nourishes us is the best place for us to be. That he has gifted and empowered us, and that he is transforming us to work towards those priorities, to work towards knowing what he wants us to do in our lives. We're going to take a moment in our service to think about our commitment to our church. And after everything I've said, I do want to say this practice that we do of kind of a commitment Sunday where we make commitments into next year, it's not all about just kind of making everyone sign up for more ministries beyond their capability. Don't hear me say today that if you want to tick the box of kind of moving forward in your relationship with God, you need to sign up for 3 more ministries than you had yesterday. That's not always what God's calling us to. There is, of course, times that we need that challenge. And there's other times where we're faithfully serving him just at the level we are. And there's other times where we've actually overextended ourselves. And the best thing we can do to be faithfully serving God is sustaining ourselves for long-term service, which means pulling back from something. And so we're going to take a moment in our service. I know it's a bit of a strange thing to kind of fill out forms. Before we go into that, I just want to take a moment to pray for us, and then I'll talk about our commitment forms. Lord God, we thank you for your goodness, that you've given us the opportunity to be connected into your roots, into your tree. We thank you for the nourishment that comes from you, the gifts that you give us to serve you, and the way you transform us. I pray, Lord, as we make decisions about commitment, as we think about our roles in church serving and ministry and our commitment to church here, we pray, Lord, that you'll give us wisdom in those things. In your name, amen.